want to start with this by letting the POD cast know that I am here, Chris Perfett, the adequate host, here for the Pride of Detroit POD cast. See, the first three letters there are POD, which stands for Pride of Detroit, and the first three letters podcast. But I just want to let the people know at home know I'm here to host this thing and be an adequate host and not currently on the campus of the University of Southern California, where I am getting my master's degree. I am not there tonight to see Anthony Scaramucci, who, if you don't remember him, he was like the White House communications director for all of like 2 days before he started yelling and cursing at the New Yorker. I'm not there to heckle him. I'm here with you guys instead. And I just want someone to appreciate that for once to appreciate the sacrifices I go to make sure this fine podcast about the Detroit Lions, which has very important things to do in the off season, like talking about particular trades that will probably not happen and whether we switch to a 3-4 instead of going heckling the guy who is probably the most New York Guido of the entire Trump White House.
We are blessed by your presence.
Thank you. And that person right there, let's just start instead of, you know what, Jeremy, Ryan, they're both here. We'll get to your introduction in seconds. That right there is Kent Lee Platty. Am I saying that right now? Platty at Math Bomb. First of two guests up tonight. Our other guest is the Green Ranger of Pride Detroit, Jerry Mallory at Jerry Mallory NFL. He's going to be with us later. Kent Lee Platty here, though. Here to drop some bombs on us about the NFL Combine, which is where a bunch of very grown men get around and start salivating over younger men in shorts. But we
my wife was disappointed that there weren't any wardrobe malfunctions this year like there were a year or two ago.
That's pretty much the only reason why you would watch, in my mind. Let's get Jeremy Reisman in here, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. He is here. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, I'm not going to kiss your ass like Kent. If you really want to go see Mooch, you know what? Go ahead and go.
I really wanted to. It starts in like 10 minutes, and instead I'm here. Let's introduce our fourth member, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
The only Mooch that I acknowledge is the one that coached the Lions in the early 2000s. I had a Got Mooch shirt. I don't have it anymore, but
Got Mooch. Yeah, I remember those shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone that would repeatedly forget player names and just call them out by their number because he couldn't remember who he was talking
to. Yeah, because he was called the Mooch. Of course he doesn't remember anyone's name.
It's in Italian blood, apparently, right, Chris?
I'm just saying, like, there seems to be two different tracks of, yes, Jeremy, it is in Italian blood. There's two different tracks of Lions coach. And I think they do break down historically into hard ass, who's kind of oblivious to the world. And that includes both the last two coaches of the Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz and Jim Caldwell. And then we have like the really kind of, I don't want to say quirky. I feel like that's a disservice to their kind of insanity. But there's definitely those guys, like we're talking about the Mooch and we're talking about Wayne Fontes and like those guys, you know, the type I'm talking about, the guys who are just comically over large at life, sometimes literally, as was the case of Wayne. And just you're like, how did this guy get a job? Oh, wait, that's right. He's coaching the Detroit Lions. That's why.
The eccentric ones.
Mariucci. Not Mariucci. I meant Marinelli.
Yeah, I was going to say Marinelli's was too serious.
Where does Dick Duran fall on this Venn diagram?
Oh man, wow, that's a good question.
Not even on the chart. I think most people forgot that he existed.
Speaking of Dick Duran,
what do you want? Hold up, you can't just pitch it back to me. Speaking of Dick Duran, where are you going?
I thought we were going to talk about the combine.
Oh, right, because Ken mentioned wardrobe malfunctions. Okay, I see where you're coming. I see the levels your brain's working on today. I like it. I like it a lot. Let's talk
here. Yay.
Well, hold up. Before we do have breaking news we do need to discuss. A Swifty Shefty showed up today. I can't call it a woe. I'm trying.
You can't just do Chef Bomb? Woj has a trademark on Bomb?
Yes, he does.
What about Math Bomb? We've got Math Bomb.
Well, here. That's different. That's different.
Kent is not dropping Kent bombs. He is dropping math bombs. It's like a specific thing. Anyway, a name to watch in the coming days, Lions tight end Eric Ebron, whose name surfaced in the trade discussions at last weekend's combines per league source. Lions were listening. Which, again, that is the sign that the Lions offseason has officially begun. A trade wouldn't rumor about Eric Ebron every year.
I just want to say, wouldn't it be rude if they weren't listening? Like, if somebody was talking to you, wouldn't you at least listen to them?
You would.
I want to see that report. You know, people are talking about trade for Lions Eric Ebron, but the Lions are plugging their ears and going nada, 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 nada as they're talking.
Lions suddenly turned and was like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
I agree that, you know, this is still like very early stages of rumors, but this is the first time that Schefter has been involved, and Schefter usually doesn't drop something like this unless there's significant heat behind it, right? Like, I don't think this is necessarily just like, people are calling them and they're picking up the phone. I think there might be some smoke here.
You say that, but Schefter did get chapsed on live television.
That was like true. 5 years ago.
No, it wasn't not 5 years ago. When was
he's
that?
Learned from it. Now he knows. You got to multi-source now. If you hear something, you got to get at least two or three guys talking about it before you accept it.
I mean,
this isn't him retweeting someone by accident. This is him using his own sources. So it's a poor comparison to make.
He got chapsed. Brian, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, I mean, just by comparison's sake, it's not like this is, you know, Rappaport tweeting something, because we all know that we would take that with a boulder of salt. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy, like coming from Schefter, this has a little bit more gravitas to it, but at the same time, like, is this anything like that the Lions wouldn't be listening to? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
get into the cap figure and the cap ramifications and all that stuff. But I mean, it'd be silly if they weren't listening.
It's a first round player entering the final year of his contract. Of course, people are trying to ask about trading for him.
And it makes sense for the Lions to kind of at least, you know, think about it. $8.25 million. I think we can all agree, even though I think we all like Eric Ebron more than the average Lions fan, $8.25 million is a little much for him in his final year. And if they can get that off the books, like that suddenly opens their free agency options quite a bit. You know, the salary cap figures just came out and the Lions have somewhere around like 27, 28 million in cap room, which is sufficient, but it's not enough to necessarily aggressively go after a couple of the top figure guys.
Okay. But like, this is always the problem. I have to come back to Eric Ebron, and I get the fans are sick of him, but like, who the hell are you going to replace him with to upgrade? And don't tell me Michael Roberts, and don't tell me Darren Fells. Those guys aren't upgrades. And I'm seeing the name Jimmy Graham come out here. You think the Lions are going to get Jimmy Graham for less money than it would to extend Eric Ebron? I'm not there with you. I don't care about the years Jimmy Graham's got on him. And I certainly don't care for Jimmy Graham, because it took him like, what, 2-3 seasons before he actually, you know, integrated himself with the Seahawks offense. Like, come on. You would be spending, yeah, you'd save $8 million, but you'd be spending it on a guy who knows your offense.
Well, right. But I mean, Jimmy Graham comes from the Saints. Like he's a much, much, much better fit in the Lions offense than he was ever in Seattle. And I'm not saying that they should go out and get Jimmy Graham, but I think it's if these trade rumors have any sort of legitimacy to him, it's an option you have to think about. You're not gonna, it's obviously a very, very short term plug and play option, but it's I mean, there's been all this talk about the Lions being in win now mode, and Jeff Risden, the guy, you know, he has a bunch of insiders, he was there at the combine last week, he's been talking about the Lions going all in these next couple of years because they want to win one for Martha. And
okay, but we just did this last week where we said they're in win now mode, but they're also setting up, like they're clearly not when they're doing some of these other moves that do not indicate that they're trying to build for a couple years down the line by making sacrifices for right now. I'm just asking for like some goddamn consistency.
Draft picks have been anything other than long term moves. They haven't had a single, you know, jump for a guy that was considered a reach because it filled an immediate need. All of their draft picks have been future picks. They're all nothing.
I think, but at this point, they're set up to compete in 2018, right? Like we're expecting Ashawn to be a bona fide starter. We're expecting.
It was the Ezekiel Ansah,
Jared Davis,
the Ansah thing we were talking about for.
Yeah, that's definitely a win now move, isn't that?
No, because yeah,
I think that would qualify. I mean, you're probably not going to hold on to Ansah even if he does all that well, just because the cost is only going to go up, right? And the likelihood of them drafting a pass rusher is fairly high. So I think that would kind of qualify for a win now move, or I mean, you could put that as a preparation one too, even if they do draft somebody. Because if they do draft somebody, then they're just holding on to Ansah for that integration period while the player learns how to play in the NFL, and then they'd offload Ansah and then start the other guy.
This is what I come back to, though, and maybe Ryan can jump in here on this conversation or go his own route after I'm done. But like, what I think the big question for me is like, what is Ebron going to do in 2018? Because we saw those flashes near the end of the year about just how damn good he is. And I don't want to hear everyone complaining about the drop balls, because he got it fixed up near the end. And if you have latter half 2017 Eric Ebron for 2018, then I don't want Jimmy Graham. I want Eric Ebron.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think if that was the premise, that you were to get a full season extrapolated of Eric Ebron's, you know, second half of his 2017 for all of 2018, that's something I'd much rather prefer over Jimmy Graham, even at the cost that Ebron's at right now. But I think when I look at the Lions and I look at the receiving options, if the Lions are expecting Kenny Golladay to take the kind of leap that I think that they're assuming him to take, well, you have three bona fide, you know, weapons in Tate, Marvin Jones, and Kenny Golladay. Is paying a tight end a little north of $8 million for this upcoming season, like, is it really worth that much money to have, you know, essentially another pass catcher at the tight end position? Maybe they can go a different route. Maybe they can, you know, Darren Fells is going to be a free agent within the next week. So, you know, when he becomes a free agent, I mean, maybe they go back and get him. They roll with Michael Roberts. Maybe they sign another type of a veteran, or I don't know. I the way I'm looking at it is I see that the Lions have so many options at receiver when it comes to those three guys that they're going to get so many targets. You're not even figuring in if Theo Riddick's with the team. I don't know. I just don't know if there's enough targets to spread around to justify spending as much money on Ebron. So I totally get why they're listening to offers.
I totally get that, but I think that there is a high risk of either Tate or Jones, again, one of those guys kind of being ghost. Like, Tate did not have a great year last year. He kind of ghosted 90
out. Catches. Come on.
Okay, but there were some games where he was a ghost, man. You can't just take
the whole because you have to spread the ball around. Do you expect him to get 10 catches every game?
Even in bad games where Jones is struggling too, Tate was not doing anything. And I'm just saying, There was definitely stuff thrown that Tate's way, and you cannot just take a fucking gestalt on me or whatever the word is. My vocabulary is short-circuiting. And I'm just going to say the other thing, too, is like, I don't know, what's the bigger risk? Hoping that Eric Ebron has his 2017 half for a full season, or Kenny Golladay taking the leap that you hope for? What's the bigger, what's more likely to happen?
I don't know which one has more upside.
No, I know which one has more upside, but I'm just saying which one's the bigger gamble.
I don't know. I honestly, that's an impossible question to answer, because Ebron has had streaks before.
Yeah, but he's also had he's had more years in the league. It'll be Kenny Golladay's second year in the league. I don't think you just suddenly flip that switch in year two and everything's right as rain.
I think we're ignoring the obvious. The Lions should call the Rams and just offer him for Donald. I mean, I don't see who says no. Situation, everything comes full circle.
Let's talk about what we think the Lions could potentially get for Eric Ebron, because obviously they're not going. I mean, this is essentially the second time they're taking calls for him, at least, because amidst all the buzz during the trade deadline last year, I think there was legitimate interest in Ebron then. What do you think the Lions could get for Ebron, and what do you think is their limit? What do you think is something that they would accept?
I think when they were fielding him before the trade deadline, I think the very floor that you could consider them accepting would have been a fifth, which is what the going rate has been for, you know, first round busts has been a fifth round pick. And Ebron isn't that, even when you look at his production prior to the second half of 2017. But his value's only gone up since then. I mean, he's still only, what, 24, 25? He's not even 25 yet, is he?
Yeah, he's 24. He'll be 25 in April.
Yes, I mean, you're looking at a second or third round pick for him, or some larger name player.
I just can't see it. Like, I mean, I can see it, but I think the Lions would be fools to get rid of Eric Ebron.
If you could get a second for Eric Ebron, would you do it?
You're trading in a known value for a lottery ticket.
Yeah, but the known value is also a lottery ticket in its own way.
I put a lot of stock in what he did in the second half of 2017. That's just where I am.
I did too. And you guys know I've always been an Eric Ebron fan, but I think at this point he really needs a change of scenery. I mean, he's not going to come back, even if he comes back in 2018. I think it's one of the safest bets you could make that even if he did stay in 2018, he won't be here in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make too. I mean, with the assumption that he probably won't be here in 2019, if a team were to call and offer a second round pick for Eric Ebron, you're not getting just one lottery ticket, you're getting two lottery tickets, because that's, you know, over $8 million wiped off your cap. So, I mean, you can go out and spend that free agency if you'd like and get one of the, you know, top tier guards and not really even have to bat an eye, right? So I say that probably, I mean, I would even be willing to accept a third round pick, depending on kind of where it is.
You're lucky to get a third for him. That's me.
Well, here's another wrinkle to throw into that, is that the Lions still need at least one more piece on the interior of their offensive line. And if we're looking at a potentially third round pick, Where's that prime location for getting an interior offensive lineman in the draft? It's that third round. So if that's what they're looking at market value wise as potentially a third round pick in a very strong interior O-line class, maybe that's the gamble that's worth taking. Are you willing to give up Eric Ebron's potential production for a lower named player, but potentially a starting guard?
Well, let's take that break. Let's take the break right now, because we're starting to veer into draft and combine talk. And we're about 17 minutes in, and I do want to get Kent on the subject of the NFL scouting combine. So we're going to take our break right now. When we come back, it's time to drop some math bombs and some RASs and all the other alphabet soups and things, and talking about people who don't think Lamar Jackson should be a quarterback. Cowards. PODcast, rolling right along to the NFL Combine, which means this is where I am legally obligated to say that Lamar Jackson will be the best quarterback in this draft. There, I've said it. You can't argue with it. It's fact.
I'm glad we got that clean so we can cut it out for the best ofs next year.
Me spend effort doing cutting up a best ofs?
Okay, good point.
All right. Well, we do have, as we mentioned, we do have Kent here. The NFL Combine was this weekend, and the combine is kind of Kent's I forget the French, whatever, it's his raison d'etre, whatever the hell you say it. I hate the French. That's why I changed my last name. Either way, this is Kent's specialty with his RAS score and everything else that he's doing up there. So let's talk about some combine and some combine numbers. I didn't watch any of this meat market, so can someone please explain to me who the big winners from the combine were?
Well, I had an interesting question for Kent to kind of get things started off, and it's less the idea of like winners and losers, but I kind of wanted to frame it around like Lions talk. So my question for you, Kent, was based on some of the performances that happened over the past weekend, who are some of the guys that may have priced themselves out of the number 20 slot that maybe some people thought would have been there? And then maybe who are some players that we can really start to focus in on and see as like viable options at number 20?
Sure. You know, the guys that we've kept hearing on in for the Lions at 20 is going to be Vita Vea and Harold Landry. And I think both of those guys did enough at the combine to really price themselves out. Vita Vea was already headed that way. He was considered a freak athlete coming into the combine, and he left none of those questions out there. He actually injured himself running his 40, so he didn't finish the rest of the drills. but he ran an extremely fast 40. I think it was a 5.1 flat, I think, or 5.11. But a very fast 40 for a guy that's, you know, 347 pounds. So he's probably out of our range now. I'm assuming that the hamstring injury that he had isn't going to be very severe. Another one was Harold Landry. Harold Landry came in with some questions about, you know, whether he was healthy enough to play this year. He had some health issues last year. Those all cleared out. But he just killed the combine. He measured right up there with Bradley Chubb and Marcus Davenport. All three of those guys measured very, very similarly to each other. But I think that Harold Landry probably pushed himself above that 20th pick and probably not going to be there anymore. Be fantastic if he was, but I'm not sure that he's still going to be there at 20.
What about some of the guys that maybe will fall to 20, or maybe players that have possibly been jumped by, you know, quarterback or center or whatever prospects that might be there at 20? Whether they had good performances or bad performances at the combine, who do you think is maybe more realistic now after the combine is over?
Sure, and that's going to be your running backs. You know, Nick Chubb was probably below where the Lions would have picked him in the first round for a lot of people, but he killed the combine too. He measured second only to Saquon Barkley at the combine. So he might be back into that first round consideration. A lot of people had him potentially lower than that, but still kind of talked about in that same vein. If he could do well, he crushed any athletic concerns at the combine. I'm pretty sure he passed all of his medicals. Sony Michel had a little bit of the opposite. He didn't do poorly at all at the combine, so don't think I'm saying he bombed it or anything. But he didn't have any real standout performance. He didn't measure as fast as people expect him to do. In fact, Chubb was faster, which I don't think anybody expected coming into the combine. But Sony Michel, he just kind of did okay. I mean, he had a good performance, but there were so many other standouts that you're probably not looking at him at 20 right now, but his value might be dropping to where the Lions could get him in the second. The same is going to be true with Rashad Penny. He had a good enough performance. I think he ran like a 4.46, which nobody expected. But he's probably looking at a clean pick in the second round. And then my guy, Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones got injured running his first 40 at the combine and didn't finish any of the drills. And with so many other running backs doing well at the combine, that might have pushed his value out from where the Lions were going to pick him up at 20 and potentially all the way down to their second round pick. So from a value standpoint, that's a much better place to be getting somebody like him.
I think that would be like golden grail if you can get Ronald Jones in the second. That's just me, because again, I'm biased because I've actually I've watched so much college football, but I at least went to like USC games in person. And I mean, my theory is basically like, you know, the Sam Darnold talk sucked up so much air that I think people forgot that the running core at USC was really good. And Ronald Jones was definitely a part of that reason.
Oh yeah, he's electric, man. Get the ball in his hands and let him run at people.
So I think you bring up an interesting point here, because a lot of people here are debating when exactly to target that running back position, seeing as that it's a very deep position in this year's draft, probably the deepest by most people's account, unless maybe we're talking interior offensive line, as you mentioned in the last segment. Is that where you expect the Lions to target a running back, or a lot of people obviously are talking about front seven, since that's such a scarce resource in this upcoming draft? Do the Lions not waste any time in targeting those guys, whether it's Landry if he falls, Marcus Davenport, whoever's there in the first round? What do you expect, I guess, going into this first round?
Despite the interior offensive line being one of the deeper positions in this draft, I feel if the Lions don't have a defensive lineman that they want in that first round, I feel like it's going to be one of the offensive linemen. I feel like it's going to be Will Hernandez, who had an amazing combine, and he's probably going to be seriously in talks for that 20th pick, if not maybe even a little bit before. But Will Hernandez or George's Isaiah Wynn is another player that I think are going to be in serious consideration with that 20th overall pick. But if they don't get a defensive lineman, I feel like guard is probably going to be the next stop. And then the second round pick is probably going to be that running back. And if it isn't running back in the second, then it'll be running back in the third. And I think that's almost a certainty, regardless of how free agency goes. Even if they pick up somebody in free agency at the running back position, I feel like a second or third round pick is pretty much locked in at running back.
What are your thoughts on Billy Price? He obviously tore his pec at the combine, already had surgery on it, expected to be out for about 4 months. They say he should be ready for training camp wherever he goes. Do you think that's going to cause him to slip at all, or is he still locked into that first round?
I think it'll cause him to slip. I love Billy Price as a player. I think he's great. I think he's almost certainly more a center than a guard, and I feel like the Lions want Graham Glasgow to be that center. But I think his value is probably going to slip. It's not because the injury is going to be long-term. A pec injury is serious because it takes a long time to heal. But from a long-term standpoint, guys get those injuries all the time, and they come back and don't have any issues. So I don't think there's any real long-term concerns about it. But he did have surgery on it, and they're saying that it's going to take about 4 months before he's ready. Now, when they say that he's ready for training camp, they mean he's ready to start weight training again at training camp. They don't mean he's ready to go and jump right into drills. He's going to be out of shape. He's going to be a guy that hasn't done his lifting and hasn't been doing all of his weight training. He's not going to be physically ready to actually do the NFL stuff when he gets to training camp. It's still going to be a little bit longer of a transition. And that's going to cause his value to slip a little bit. And being a guard that was already, or an interior lineman anyway, that was valued at the late first round to begin with, that probably pushes him out to the mid second.
I'm not sure if this is considered a curveball by any means, but are there any other positions that we think that might be on the board there at one that the Lions might try to nab at? Like, I mean, I don't really consider, you know, maybe linebacker is kind of on their radar. Is there anybody that may be there at 20 that maybe some people aren't assuming? I mean, we really don't know how the Maurice Hurst stuff is going to turn out. That's just something that would take a whole lot of prognostication on our part. So that's probably not fair to do, but that was a big bummer from the draft, and that kind of changed things as well. But like, are there really any other positions maybe that we can see maybe the Lions going in the first round there?
Oh yeah. As much as we want to look at that and say pass rush or a running back that people want, the Lions really have a lot of options. And this draft is one of those ones that's set up just for that kind of need. Because all of our big needs are what the strength of this draft is, with the exception of edge rusher. So we have a lot of things that we need that the draft is strong in. But there's always that thought that somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to fall, right? Somebody's going to get pushed down a little bit farther. So maybe we do get a linebacker in the first round. Tremaine Edmonds out of Virginia Tech is a guy that has actually been pegged. I think he was one of McShay's first one. McShay Edelman as a straight pass rusher, which is dumb. But Tremaine Edmonds measured out as an elite athlete, and he's a great linebacker. He has a lot of instincts issues to clean up, but he's 19 right now. He'll be 20 when he's drafted.
Wow.
So that's somebody with about as high of upside as you can get. He comes from a very strong football background. His dad was a Pro Bowl tight end. He's a very strong option at 20. Another one that I'm going to throw out is Derwin James. Derwin James had a down 2017, but coming into 2017, he was considered one of the top five prospects. And you have a guy who's a true strong safety who can do a lot of the linebacker stuff. You know, it sounds a lot like we're talking about what we thought Miles Killebrew was going to do. But this isn't like Jabril Peppers last year where we're saying, oh, that's the same stuff that Killebrew does. And we're kind of thinking of it on the same level. Derwin James is on a whole nother level if you're comparing it to him and to Jabril Peppers. It's a completely different prospect who's got much more tangible athletic ability and ability to play on a football field. So that's another one I think could kind of throw that, like you said, that curveball to fans is getting that safety there. I don't think it's going to be their primary choice. I think that the chips would have to fall in just the right way for that to happen. Probably Landry, Vea, Edmonds, and Hernandez are off the board at that point for that to be an option. But it is one that I think is possible. It's something that could happen in the draft.
And a quick question about Derwin James, too. I heard some mention of him. I mean, his athletic profile, him even potentially playing like slot corner, like playing off man coverage, that type of stuff. Like, I mean, he has the ability to be a little bit more than just a safety, or no?
Oh yeah. It's scheme versatility, man. And it's something you're going to hear so much about with Patricia and his staff. It's all about being able to do as many things as possible. And he comes in with that. He can play slot corner. He can play off ball, maybe not as great as he does when he's up near the line. But he can do those things. The fact that he can do all of them at least passably is something that you can't really look past. And his athletic profile is insane. I think he came in as like the second highest RAS that I had all time
Yeah, didn't he jump something crazy, didn't he? Yeah.
I think he had like a 41 and a half vert. Oh. And then, a 40-inch vert and an 11-foot broad.
Dang. Yeah.
All right, so we've tackled the first couple rounds. Let's talk about some of the depth players, some of the guys maybe most people aren't talking about, aren't that aware of. Who made some moves towards the bottom of the draft, do you think, that maybe could be a sneaky player that the Lions take? And also, I think I want to get your take on Shaquem Griffin. And is he now a first or second day pick after he balled out in the combine?
Yeah, he's not going to be a first day pick. I love Shaquem Griffin. I know you guys know I've talked about him in the Slack room a bunch of times. He's one of my favorite prospects. I don't see him going in the first day at all. I don't really even see him going in the second day, though. I think that's where I would take him, would be the second day in the third round. His physical limitation is something that's going to come up a million times. And you can say it out loud that, oh, it doesn't matter. All you got to do is have heart. But it isn't easy to disengage from a blocker without a hand. It's just not. And I love the dude, and I love the way he plays, and I think he's going to have a role in the NFL. I think it's a certainty that he gets drafted, and he should be drafted in that third round, maybe fourth round. But that is a limitation that you have to take into effect, and that's why he's not going to get drafted earlier. That's not why, even though he had such a prolific combine, ran the best 40 time ever for a combine or for a linebacker, that's why you're not going to see that brought up more for him getting taken or in the first round. You probably would in previous years, but because of his physical limitation, that's something you're not going to hear. But I love that dude, and I hope he goes high. Other guys, though, that I think that you want to pay attention to that maybe you didn't really know about before, there's three of them. The first one is Chase Edmonds. He's a running back out of Fordham. It's Fordham, so most people don't know anything about Fordham. Most people don't even know that it exists or where it is. I couldn't point it out on a map. But Chase Edmonds is a guy that I started to hear about a little bit before the combine. And he was a guy that I was going to expect to watch. And he came out and had one of the best shuttle times and one of the best cone times in the entire combine. He has great agility. He has great, explosion off the ball. He's not the fastest running back in the world, and he's not very large. So he's probably not going to go very early. I wouldn't expect him on day one or two, but he's going to be a very solid day three pick. And he even did running back or wide receiver drills at the combine for some teams. So he did more than just the regular stuff that everybody did. They wanted to get an extra look at what he could do. Again, versatility, something else that you can do. So I think he's a player the Lions are going to have valued pretty well on their board because he is so versatile. Another player that's going to get talked about a lot just because he crushed the combine so well is a guy named Oren Burks, plays for Vanderbilt. You know, we had Zach Cunningham come out of Vandy last year, and he was a much more highly touted prospect. Oren Burks just did better than him at everything at the combine, so he's getting talked about a bit more. He had a 39.5-inch vert, and he had a 10-foot, 11-inch broad at linebacker to go along with a great shuttle and a great cone time. He crushed the combine. People are going back to his tape, and they're finding some wrinkles in it because he's not the most polished prospect in the world. There are some things that he's going to have to clean up in his game. But if you wanted to look at an athletic developmental linebacker prospect, that's the kind of guy that you're going to look at, a guy who's got good size, fast, agile, explosive. Now, that's the kind of guy you want to look at.
I've got two questions to wrap this up. So first off, one's more of a comment. First off, for Kent, saying most people don't know where Fordham is, that sounds like some dangerous Midwest bias right there. How dare you? Second, and this is the only thing I have for you, because all of this I've just been nodding along with and cleaning up a spill here. But I just want to know who the best long snapper is in this draft.
There was only one long snapper in the whole draft. I forget his name, but SB Nation actually did an article on him. They asked him the 12 hardest things to long snap.
I saw that.
So if you get a chance to check that out, it was entertaining because football wasn't number one. It wasn't the easiest thing. He had that second. I think a baseball was the easiest thing to long snap.
That makes sense, yeah.
I know a pizza was his hardest.
Yes.
They had a baby in there.
Oregon's Tanner Carew.
Yeah.
And God, yes, that's a long snapper name right there. I want him.
from hardest to easiest, I won't give them all so that you can go to SB Nation.
Listen, the Jimmy Landis experiment died, but we can still draft a long snapper of the future.
How dare you? Hardest from easiest things to snap. Pizza, hockey stick, baby, empty paper towel tube.
We don't need to read
burrito.
This is the podcast, not the read cast.
Tide Pod. I wanted to get to that one just to make you fucking happy, but instead you interrupted me.
No, it doesn't make me happy at all. Ken,
nothing
thanks
makes you
a
happy
lot.
Because you just want to be with Scaramucci, your best friend.
He's not my best friend.
I have one last question for Kent.
Real quick, then we gotta wrap this up. Yeah.
Kent, would you package Eric Ebron and the Lions first round pick to move up and get Quentin Nelson? Just say yes and sign off.
Yes, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Everybody should want to do that.
I just don't. Oh, that would be the day. All right, Kent, thank you a lot. As always, at Math Bomb, his Raz. Do I say it as Raz, like Razzle Dazzle?
Yeah, that's how I usually pronounce it.
Okay, we'll go with that. We can do his Raz scores and everything else. This is his time of the year. So thanks a lot. And podcast rolls along here. Just stick around. We'll be right back. Pride of Detroit back at it again on the Pride of Detroit podcast. And guess what? It's time for the Green Ranger himself to show up. Jerry Mallory, the Godfather.
What's up, man? I'm the Green Ranger. I didn't approve of that, but I kind of like it.
I'm just saying, you're the guy who shows up, and you've got like the special Zord and everything. All right, listen. You've got all the trappings and
listen. I'm gonna be the Green Ranger. You gotta add that flute. I know you do some editing. You gotta add that. You gotta add that flute in there when you introduce me. When you do the post edit for a show.
I don't even remember the flute at this point.
Oh, I'll find it for you. Don't worry. I got you.
This is why we like having Jerry on. It's been too long, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. Glad to be back, and hope to be a little bit more regular with you guys. Have some fun during the off season.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. God knows it's way too goddamn long for me. Jerry Maller at Jerry Mallory NFL. Check him out there. And it's time to talk some free agency. So I'm just gonna jump right off the top rope, Jerry. What do the Lions have to do to bring Ndamukong Suh back to Detroit?
Oh, that's an easy one, man. After the Bears trade for Jarvis Landry and then all these other bogus trades go through, we can trade like our fourth round pick for him. It'd be easy. Easy picking.
I like it. No. Simple as that. Yeah. Right, Jeremy, you've been kind of the ringleading on all the speculative talk. So why don't you go from here on what you want to ask Jerry about?
Well, I mean, I think the focus on the defense really has to be in the Lions' free agents, because before we can start talking about guys like Dontari Poe or whoever else is out there, the Lions have to deal with a handful of their own guys. And I'm interested in what your thoughts on some of the Lions' free agents are. Let's just go through them one by one and what your thoughts on whether you want the Lions to re-sign them or not. The biggest, we already know Ansa is going to be back for a year. What about Tahir Whitehead? What are your thoughts on him? Because I think he's kind of an underrated guy and someone that the Lions fans aren't really talking about all that much. Do you see him being around next year?
Right. Well, he played a lot better this past offseason. I think he played in the middle the year before Jared Davis, and then this year he was back on the outside. And so he played a lot better. Now, I mean, on Twitter, man, there's so many different stories. You don't know what's true or what's false. I think I heard somewhere they might not be bringing him back. I don't know. Personally, me, I would bring him back. I like Reeves Maven. I like Jared Davis, but Tahir Whitehead played solid last year. So I would say, yeah, if the price is right. Now, I don't know if our scheme, are we looking for guys that can do a little bit more, maybe 3-4 linebackers? I can't say for sure, but just based on how he played last year, he was solid. I want to bring him back.
Yeah, we were just talking with Ken. He talked a lot about versatility. And while Tahir kind of gives you the middle outside versatility, I'm not sure if he really can do a lot more than just kind of tackle pretty well.
Right.
I'm trying to think, like, he's not much of a pass rusher. He's not great in coverage. So I don't know if he's going to fit in the new defense as much. But at the same time, the Lions just don't have any veterans there, right? They don't have any guys who've been around the block other than Paul Warlow, who's also a free agent, but I think we'll both probably agree that we're not eager to re-sign that guy.
Yeah. We're not wasting time with Paul Warlow, are we? Are you going to ask me about him?
No, he's not going to be one of these top guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Let's move on to Haloti Ngata, because he's a guy who's expressed interest in coming back. Granted, that was before the Lions had fired Jim Caldwell. What are your thoughts on Nata? Do the Lions give him one more shot?
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, you know, the older he gets, the fewer snaps you want him to play. But last year was, I mean, it was pretty obvious. Our run defense when he played versus when he got hurt, it was like night and day. So, yeah, I definitely want to bring him back, especially now. I know we keep falling into this trap. Will we, you know, run some 3-4? Will we be multi-front, yada, yada? But especially with our defense probably changing, we know he has a history, you know, there in Baltimore playing like that traditional nose tackle in the 3-4. So, you know, he can't be the only guy. I'd be more comfortable if he wasn't starting. But bringing him back, yeah, definitely. It'd probably be a cheap deal. That's probably of all the defensive guys, you know, if we should bring them back or not. I would say Nata's, yeah, he's probably first on my list because he's going to be cheap and he was still effective last year before he got hurt.
Ryan, what do you think about that? Are you on the Nata bandwagon?
I am on the Nata bandwagon. This is something that Jerry and I can agree on, which comes, you know, few and far in between.
Never. I mean,
we may not feel the same way about Prince, but we do feel the same way about Haloti Nata.
Listen, we might have to save that for the mailbag.
Jesus.
Listen, I'm going to just say it here. You know, it's funny. My sister and me, we got in this the biggest argument ever because, I mean, everyone loves Prince, right? But, you know, my hot take, my Colin Cowherd hot take is that Prince is overrated. But I know we got football to talk about, and I think Prince is talented but overrated. So that's my Colin Cowherd hot take for tonight.
Listening intently.
That was the literal. That was the literal embodiment of a low blow and then run out of the ring. Let's talk. Let me get my hot take in, and then I'm gonna get right out of Dodge. I love it. I can appreciate it.
Savvy. He's a savvy competitor. This is Jerry Mallory.
I've been doing this for a long time.
I know. And you were just posting yourself today. You had your cheat meal today, too.
Oh, dude, I was going to show you my Wingstop. I went to Wingstop after the taco truck, too. I was going to show you the greasy bag.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. We have a law. By the way, to outsiders, we haven't discussed this because our realities kind of blend with POD Slack quite a bit. We have a law in POD Slack that if you get Wingstop, you have to share the images of Wingstop.
I got some pictures for you guys forthcoming.
All right. Yeah.
Let me try to get this back on track. I was going to use the segue. Speaking of talented but overrated, let's talk about DJ Hayden, a former first round pick, did not work out with the Raiders, did not work out too well last year with the Lions, but he does have a link with one of the new Lions coaches. He was coached back. I'm trying to remember the name of the defensive backs coach that I'm failing to remember right now. But
Brian Stewart.
What's that?
Brian Stewart?
I think, yes, Brian Stewart. So Brian Stewart coached DJ Hayden back in college. So there is that connection there. Is that going to be enough for the Lions to bring him back, though?
That's interesting. I mean, they need a vet. You know, they'll probably try to give Tease Tabor, you know, he'll definitely play more. They might try to start him opposite Darius Slay. But in any event, whether it's Hayden or Lawson or they bring in a guy, you know, they're going to have to bring in a veteran or two. I mean, you can't lose Hayden and Lawson in the same offseason and just expect Tease Tabor to just come in and be effective. So, and I really struggle, you know, which one, because – I mean, I think Lawson may have played a little bit better at times, but both of them kind of, I don't know. It's hard for me to decide for which one of the two I want to bring back or just go with a new veteran altogether. But I guess if I had to say between them all, I'm going to say no for DJ Hayden. And if we go over to Lawson, I'll say yes and explain a little bit more.
Yeah, the feelings I have, I think, are that Hayden will probably come back on a cheaper deal just because he came on a pretty incentive laden deal last year.
That's true.
So I think that makes him maybe a little bit more of a realistic possibility. Cause I know Lawson had a down year, but I mean, if anybody could stand to benefit from pass interference becoming a spot foul to a 15 yard penalty, Nevin Lawson's value increases exponentially. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. This will be the last one, and then we'll move on to some free agent targets from other teams that we're interested in. Tavon Wilson obviously has a New England connection, having spent a couple of years there. Lions don't clearly have a strong safety starter outside of him, unless you consider Miles Kilbrew to make a big jump in 2018. Does he come back in 2018?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, Wilson's kind of underrated. You know, when he was out there, when he was playing, he was always solid, making plays. You know, he'll be that strong safety. I think Patricia kind of alluded to the importance of what the middle, starting in the middle and working your way out. So he's kind of a guy, you know, he can play in the box, you know, a strong safety. So him, Diggs, I don't know if they're going to keep Diggs at safety a little bit. Kilbrew, I mean, there's a lot going on there. But ultimately, I think Wilson's going to be relatively cheap. He was a plus starter, in my opinion. He wasn't a liability out there. So, yeah, I think after Nada, Wilson is my next guy I'd be targeting to bring back for sure on a cheap, you know, short deal.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you brought in Quandre Diggs to the discussion, because he did play so well at strong safety down the stretch when Tavon went down. But it sounds to me, Jerry, like you kind of want to keep a lot of this defense intact, at least on the back end. Is that how you're feeling? And then the Lions just kind of attack maybe the front four in free agency in the draft?
That's pretty much where I'm at. I think the secondary, especially with the lack of pass rush, I was pleased with it last year. It's not going to be perfect, you know, but with Slay there, and I still believe in Tease Tabor. I was kind of high on him too, like our buddy Alex Reno was. You know, I was kind of high on him as well, so I think he's going to be good. The linebackers are young and improving. So for me, it's just like, and we're going to get into free agency, just add to the defensive line. I was kind of comfortable with the back seven, especially the back four. So, yeah, I would say that I'm comfortable with the defense, with the exception of that horrible defensive line that we had.
All right, let's get into some of the guys then that the Lions might be targeting there in free agency. Ryan, why don't you kick things off? Because you wrote an article today on kind of one of the things that was, I think, got pushed under the rug that Bob Quinn said in his press conference last week, was that the Lions are going after kind of second and third tier guys in free agency. That's where they're going to really earn their keep with their investments. And you kind of profiled one of those guys that might be an underrated option in free agency, Jeremiah. We looked up how to pronounce this and have already forgotten. Atachu,
yes.
Sound tight.
Mazel tov. So yeah, no, I really think that that's just going to be kind of the modus operandi again for this offseason. And you know, the Lions did make big splashes last free agency by, you know, going and getting the top tackle on the market and Wagner, getting one of the top guards in the market with TJ Lang. Their defense though was a little bit more plug and play. I mean, and they went out and got guys like Cornwash, and they went out and got Akeem Spence and took a flyer on Jordan Hill and somebody else's name, DJ Hayden. These guys, I mean, these type of either incentive laden contracts for guys who either flamed out due to injury or scheme fit, or, you know, just general lack of production, kind of in the case of DJ Hayden being a former first rounder who didn't really pan out. Atachu kind of fits that same bill. He was taken in the 2014 draft in the second round. The Chargers actually moved up to get him because he was one of the last, you know, 3-4 linebackers, so to speak, available in the draft. But he was a guy who was incredibly productive in college. Had 31.5 sacks for Georgia Tech over his 4-year career. That's still the number one mark in the school's history. Surprisingly, more than Roman Reigns racked up while he was at Georgia Tech. I had to get that in. Nice. But the interesting thing about Atachu is that it seems like he has some scheme versatility. He was also, Chris Burke from The Athletic mentioned that he was a guy that the Patriots brought in 2014 for a pre-draft visit, when a couple of guys that we know that are now employed in very high ranking positions with the Lions are used to be a part of. So the interesting thing about Atachu is that the first 3 seasons at Georgia Tech, they played a 3-4 defense. And then his senior season, he went over and played in a 4-3, and he was still incredibly productive. Had like 45 tackles, 11.5 sacks. You know, he was still just a force, whether he was playing down or up or whatever it may be. He gets to the NFL. He kind of cuts his teeth in the first year. Second year with the Chargers, he he actually kind of, you know, made some steps, had six sacks, played in 15 games, started in 12 of them. But then since then, over the past two seasons, he's only made it on the field for 12 games. So it's really been like an injury problem with him. And because he's shown the ability to be productive, but I think he's one of those guys that I think, you know, in the same vein as those guys I mentioned earlier, like the Cornwashes and Akeem Spences, I think that Atachu could be a guy who fits that same kind of bill.
Jerry, I'm curious what your thoughts on how the Lions are going to attack this free agency period. We just got the cap figures out. Lions are going to have about $28 million in free cap space. Obviously, they're going to have to spend some of that on a draft class. They might have another eight or so million if this Eric Ebron trade happens. Is that going to be enough money where you see them going for one of these bigger names in free agency, or do you kind of expect the second and third tier guys?
I think there's a chance. They're not going to get in a crazy bidding war, but if there's a guy there at the right price, I think they will strike. I do agree with Ryan, and if you listen to Quinn, he said it over and over again, you know, from his first press conference to, you know, we don't hear him a lot, but he has one thing in common that he usually says is, you know, free agency, you know, that's where you kind of fill in the holes, but you build through the draft. You know, a guy can look one way on let's say the Vikings, and he comes to a new town, a new scheme, and it doesn't always pan out. So he's not going to overspend for a guy. There's already a market for guys like Muhammad Wilkerson, supposedly Dontari Poe. However, I do think at the same time, he looks at Ziggy Ansah, and, you know, he mentioned Ziggy this past week on how much attention he gets, how many double teams he was absorbing. And I think you have to look at that and say, man, if we can get one more guy on that line, a little bit more dependable, that can get after the quarterback, then the attention that Ziggy's getting will either lessen, or if he keeps getting that attention, you know, your Anthony Zettles that can get you five or six sacks and disappear, maybe we can get someone a little bit more consistent. So I think he'll make a run at one of these guys. I'm thinking Sheldon Richardson more so, because he can play like defensive end or D tackle. Kind of reminds me of, you know, what was it, Kalis or Khalil? However you say that guy's name, Campbell, there in Jacksonville. I think Poe's going to have too many suitors. Wilkerson supposedly already getting some interest from the Packers. And then you got Star, I'm going to butcher his name too, Lotulelei. He's more of a like a traditional nose tackle, although a talented guy. So if I'm just throwing a name out there, someone that will draw some interest, supposedly Seattle wants to bring him back, but they don't quite have the money. They're looking to make some cuts and trades, but we'll see. I think Sheldon Richardson is just a name to look out for, and that's of all of the guys available. I know he has some character concerns, and he's had some issues, haven't had the most productive couple of years. That being said, maybe we can bring him in on a 2-3 year deal, I don't know, in the $8 million-ish range, and would be like the one splash I could see us making.
And it's worth worth noting that Sheldon Richardson did not get tagged by the Seahawks. He was one of their candidates, but the franchise tag deadline passed today on Tuesday. He did not get tagged. So, yeah, he's looking towards free agency potentially next week.
All right. Well, we are running out of time, so we're going to sprint out here. And thanks again for all the free agency talk, Jerry. You're going to stick around for the mailbag here. You're going to get in some of these wonderful questions here from the audience, and continue to fight with Ryan over Prince. We haven't forgotten about that. All right. We'll be right back. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD, always, always, everywhere, no matter where, we take your questions. But first, we turn to the reviews. We see if we have any new reviews or if we are going to threaten a new doom fate upon our listeners. Jeremy, do we have any new reviews?
We do. I don't know if I was being overly passive aggressive last week or what it was, but We got a handful of views, so or reviews, so we're backed up for a couple weeks now.
Okay.
So let me get to our first one that comes from Matthew Stafford Sidesling. He gives us 5 stars. His title is called Helping Cure My Off-Season Blues. Just picked up this podcast a couple weeks ago, and it's already something I find myself looking forward to each week. They cover each tiny news detail surrounding the Lions and have great discussions about it. Well-informed with a touch of humor makes it an easy 5 stars. Pretty good.
Okay. Good, man. Good man.
All right.
Thanks, thanks, Uncle Todd, for writing that. I'm just kidding. I don't know that for sure, but maybe.
We have another review from True Believer -- in all caps. Says review time, 4 stars. Been away from the POD, the pod, for a little while, gents. Catching up on them now and heard you guys going on about the lack of reviews. Enjoy the podcast and love the content. Good flow and go Lions.
To be honest, we're asking for like 2 reviews a week. It's not really a lack of reviews. We're just being greedy bastards. But you know what? We're allowed to. So we're going to start here on the Ask POD from a couple days ago from Pat Burr WA, who's been tagging you and me in this, Jeremy, but not like Ryan for some reason. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But if the Pride of Detroit POD cast opened a food truck, what 5 things would have to be on the menu? Oh, I see what's going on here. He's tagging us because we're the Cali boys. And it's about food trucks. Well, wings, definitely.
I'm trying to think of what's good food truck food because, I mean, tacos are, I think, an essential food truck food.
They are tacos, burritos. I'm not big on a lot of Mexican cuisine, though, even being around here. I got to say, for most of them, it seems to be like if it's not Mexican, if it's not tacos or burritos, it's usually like bulgogi or some kind of Korean barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of barbecue trucks around here. I don't even remember the question anymore.
Jerry just went to a taco truck, right? Why don't you give them a shout out? Because you said it was delicious, right?
Yeah, if I knew their name, I could, but it's a taco truck in Detroit somewhere. I don't know, man. They specialize in Mexican cuisine. I don't know their name. I'm sorry. To be honest, guys, you know, I've been eating clean, and I'll cheat like once a month, every 3 weeks, whatever. I'm regretting everything right now, dude. I feel horrible. I had like 4 donuts. I had the tacos, the wings. I mean, I don't even want to think about food right now, dude.
You're not a young man. You can't do the rocks cheat meal.
Dude, I feel absolutely horrible. Like, I'll be visiting the toilet very soon.
All right. Well, we will make sure to hasten that a little bit since we just did one for me, Jeremy, and Jerry even got. And I've got a question for Ryan now from Critical Perspective. I understand that you interact with both. So in general, who is the more rational and thoughtful person? A football fan or a teenager?
That's a nice question right there. I like that.
Imagine when those two things intersect.
Christ. It's so you mean Cowboys fans?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with neither. I'd rather be trapped in a panic room with literally any other person than a football fan or a teenager.
Literally, that's a cop-out answer. That's a cop-out answer.
I'd rather be charged with taking care of an infant, and I know nothing about childcare. Like I would rather grasp and grapple with that than have to check the rationality of either of those two types of people. You know what? I have to have faith in the youth. Give me the teenager and the points.
Okay. All right, let's go to another question here. We have, I like this one from Harrington HOF. What is your favorite meme and why?
Oh, man. So many.
That is a good question because initially I was like, ooh, I know. It's got to be the excited Vince McMahon meme. But, I mean, I like Galaxy Brain a lot too. And I was just thinking.
Nick Young with the question marks.
Yeah, Nick Young's good. Question mark's good.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Young, when he's walking away from the three that he thinks is going in, and it's bouncing out.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's always That's Where You're Wrong, Kiddo. I'm trying to remember some of the old ones because I'm kind of old school on it. Why don't you guys list off some more while I'm looking for my meme folder?
I was going to say one more that I think we're kind of like contractually obligated to, but the Toto dog vine.
Yeah, that's in there. I think we're also contractually obligated to mention the drill, linking anything up to a drill meme, a drill tweet, especially I'm sorry, I'm trying to remove it. Which every time I say that in the Slack, Ryan seems to lose it.
I like to make my own memes sometimes. Jim, what was it? I think the Pistons were playing like Golden State last year. It was some like exciting game, and their Jim Caldwell was sitting in the front row.
Oh yeah, with
zero reaction. Just, I mean, it was so much energy going on, and it was everybody's going crazy. And he's got that straight face. So every now and then, and I belong to this group me chat room. I like to make my own memes, so I'll use Jim Caldwell a lot. And another underrated one I like to do is any picture of Denzel Washington laughing, and that works for a good meme. Because a lot of my buddies have horrible sports takes, like signing Le'Veon Bell or trading the number one for Saquon Barkley. So I like to hit them with the Denzel Washington laughing meme.
I'm going to log off of here and remember like the one I'm really thinking about, but I can't. I've only got two to put in its place. The first one is, and I was just looking at it, where'd it go? Oh, so this one's from 2016. Jeb Bush in ecstasy over like any kind of map that is like all going for him. Someone put it together where he won like all 538 electoral votes. And just, there's something funny about that. But the other one is, the other one that I've seen a lot of lately that I'm really into is Shaq sleeping, where it's like one thing where it's like you don't care about, and it's Shaq going, "I'm asleep." And then there's something, it just seems innocuous, but all of a sudden it's like, it's kind of like Photoshopped. He's got like glowing eyes. He's just going, "Real shit." I like
it. Hey, Chris, weren't you calling these Maymays at one point or something?
I was not. That was a joke.
Oh, I thought you were serious, dude. I'm like,
No.
This California thing, accents is going too far.
Whoa. Hey, now. Don't.
That's fire.
Wasn't that a Bryce Harper thing? Didn't Bryce Harper call them Maymays?
Bryce Harper called them Maymays. Yeah.
There it is.
I remember that. There was one more that I wanted to bring up. One of my favorites is Stephen A. Smith when he's talking about Lamar Odom.
Lay off the damn crack.
Crack.
Oh. Oh, that's another great one is Take a Look, Y'all.
Yeah, that's a good one. Jeremy, you haven't said any yet.
I'm low on the meme stuff.
I'm 31.
They get tired. The one that I think I like a little bit that no one mentioned is the shooting star one.
Oh, when, like, someone is falling.
The more you know.
No. When like someone is falling and they
yeah.
They turn it into that video of just like someone shooting through space with that weird song.
Those were really underrated.
Loss is a pretty good meme too, but you have to really have a demented mind and a history of like the internet to get Loss. And I'm not even going to explain Loss. You're just going to have to look it up. All right. Next question here from Weird Al Blackovich.
Whoa.
He's got two questions here from Loss.
Jerry's got a burner account.
First question, Memphis, Carolina, or KC barbecue? Now, you may have remember this week, New Brooklyn barbecue got in the news for, I mean, the brisket looks okay, but like New York is known for having good brisket. But the fact is there was like nothing else. It was like five pieces of brisket, two pickles, and two pieces of King's Hawaiian rolls they just took out of the bag and didn't even separate. And like some stout in a mason jar. And I'm supposed to believe that's taking over the world. So the answer is Carolina barbecue. I'm sorry, I'm biased and I like pulled pork.
I'm going to disagree and I'm going to say Memphis barbecue. Because I'm biased and I haven't had either of those other types of barbecue.
I've had KC barbecue too. The thing is like, I don't know, like KC barbecue just basically means St. Louis ribs and a smattering of stuff from elsewhere. I'm sure some barbecue purist is going to come in and tell me I'm wrong, but that's just where I went. I grew up and because I was born in like the in North Carolina, I just kind of see everything as like a pulled pork sandwich when I think barbecue.
I'm down for pretty much anything. I just watched maybe, I don't know if this is where the question is stemming from, but I just watched that Ugly Delicious show on Netflix, and they have an episode on barbecue where they pretty much compare all the United States versions and even make an argument for Korean barbecue. But
Korean barbecue Los Angeles barbecue is Korean barbecue in my mind.
A lot of it. I mean, but you can get any kind of barbecue anywhere, really.
Oh, sure. Because people forget, California is a half step away from like a bunch of the Western, you know, rancher states. Of course, we got barbecue around here. I just generally think LA's barbecue is Korean barbecue, though. But
it's fair.
I just had a bunch of Wingstop barbecue, and I don't want to talk about food, but I will say that Slo's barbecue is overrated. That's my take.
Thank you.
That's not the question he asked, but I'm just gonna answer, you know, in my own way.
All right, his second Weird Al's second question is: which Lions player would you recruit to punch Richard Spencer?
Whoa!
Another topical one: neo-Nazi Richard Spencer is going to be at Michigan State.
He already was there.
He already was. Okay, fine. Who would you have him? As always, I'm going to go with the biggest and meanest guy I can think of: A'shaun Robinson.
That's the right answer.
Hmm. Don Muehlbeck.
I feel like Miles Killebrew could knock him out pretty good too.
Miles Killebrew could knock out anybody. That man.
Is this the same guy from the barbecue question?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, since I didn't really answer that one, I'm going to also not answer this one the way he asked it. this is what I'm going to go with. I got this theory that Russell Westbrook, his face, he looks like it's carved out of stone. Do you guys remember? You guys remember Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon?
Are you comparing Russell Westbrook to Olmec?
Well, yeah, that stone face. It looks like you were to punch Russell Westbrook in the face, your hand would implode. So I would pick Russell Westbrook to headbutt that guy.
This is why we like having Jerry on the podcast.
This is also the second week in a row that during the mailbag we brought up Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah,
I just want to make that clear.
Oh, man.
It's the new car talk.
The Shrine of the Silver Monkey was three freaking pieces.
Yeah, let's put Richard Spencer in the Shrine of the Silver Monkey. He'll die before he's able to get his way out of there.
Blue Barracudas.
Jay Johnny asks us, what is the most important aspect of your favorite roller coaster? Is it speed, height, or inversion factor, or what?
Sounds like my Saturday night.
Hey-o.
You know what? I think my favorite, you know, when I was younger, I didn't like them, but I think my favorite coasters now, if I can stomach to go on one again, I think it's just a matter of like the materials now. I've come to finally appreciate the big, nasty wooden coasters.
Oh, that was a horror.
Rattle your teeth out.
Nope, not at all. I remember my lat bar came up on the Blue Streak.
Cedar Point. Nice. Wait,
that's like the one I would not want my lap thing to come out.
Wait, hold up. But Blue Streak's the one with only like one hill, though. Or are you thinking about Mean Streak?
Mean Streak. I'm thinking about the Blue Streak, and I know it's really old, and I know it's made out of wood, but the lat bar came off.
I haven't been on a roller coaster in like a year, in like a decade since I moved away from
Last time I went to Cedar Point, it was like the it wasn't Top Thrill Dragster. It was like one more Maverick. Maverick was like brand new when I went. But I'm in my 30s and I just don't have the patience to wait 2 hours in line now to go to any kind of coaster.
Well, hold on real quick, just to insert this. You never go to Cedar Point without buying the Fast Pass. Like you always buy the Fast Pass. Nope.
No, I'm not giving them. Absolutely. I'm not. That's a mafia trick right there.
I think if you're over 30, you have to buy the Fast Pass. I mean, who's going to wait in line 2 hours, man?
I don't have the patience.
I can't hold my bladder that long anymore, dude.
Exactly. And because every line has you going out into the sun and you're baking to death, so they make you buy the $4 bottle of Aquafina and you drink that, and then you want to get out of line anyways because you got to go to the bathroom.
Jerry. Fast Pass City. I agree.
Fast Pass City.
I haven't been. Last time I went was like 2008. The Wings just won a championship. Darren McCarty was walking around. I don't know if he was even on the Wings when they won in 08.
See, the thing is, Yeah, if I go to
drunk.
If I go to Cedar Point now, yeah, if I go to Cedar Point now, I'm going there for the beer garden and then to go over to Put-in Bay.
Dude, I don't know. The last time I went to Cedar Point, everybody was talking about like, hey, like let's drink in the parking lot. I'm like, why do you guys want to drink before we get on roller coasters?
That's yeah,
like,
that like the worst
come
idea.
Come out to Sandusky just to drink in a parking lot.
I mean, normally I'm kind of up for that type of stuff, but
as established. All right.
But to answer the original question, the height. Height's the most important.
Height?
Give me the big drop.
Are we just all exclusively talking Cedar Point here? I mean, okay, have you guys gone to any other things besides the Disney places and...
Oh, just Cedar Point for me.
You haven't been to like Six Flags or Paramount Island or whatever?
I used to love Cedar Point, dude. So much, they used to call me Jerry Sandusky.
Jesus, okay.
They have to change, you know, we have to, recent events have to change that.
I need a moment. I need a moment. All right. Daniel Hall, is it weird that I forget Ryan doesn't also live in Southern California? I think it is the subliminal effect of his namesake's 5 unforgettable seasons with the San Diego Chargers.
That's unfortunate. I hate to be associated with any of these buffoons that I record a podcast with. I'm the furthest thing from a Cali boy. I'm really hoping I get a snow day tomorrow.
All you need to know about Ryan not being a Cali boy is that he's never tried Indian food.
Wait, I haven't tried a lot of food.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Do you? Yeah, I know. Do you guys want to hear Chris's head spin? I still have never had a gyro.
What? Come on.
I don't know why. Why should I? When there's a Wingstop, or why should I when Sweetwater exists, or why should I when Hot Taco is a thing?
Ty Finch.
Exactly.
You have to watch one of the following forever on loop. A.
The Office.
All 16 games, not an option. All 16 games from the 2008 Lions season. B. The entire collection of Two Broke Girls. C. Entire collections of Parks and Rec, but every actor is voiced by Gilbert Gottfried. Or D. Olympic cross country skiing.
Definitely not Olympic cross country skiing.
Well, let me take this opportunity to again shout out, if there's anyone that has the 2008 game film for all 16 games, let me know. Get in touch with me because I want to watch it all back to back one time.
Is this charity. The second week in a row we're doing this again?
I think so, but just in case anyone didn't hear, please get at me. I would love to do this.
We have to shout this out earlier in the show before people just turn off our craziness.
That is a good point. We should probably lead the show with this next time.
Yeah.
But that's definitely not my... I think I would go Parks and Recs with Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah, me too.
I would lose my mind listening to that.
It'd be fun.
I'm Leslie Knope from Party, Indiana. It'd be kind of cool, man.
It would be fun for like 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, it probably would wear out pretty quick.
All right, next question here is from Juliet. Is it just me or does anyone else dislike sour cream?
What?
I'm not a fan.
What? Cali boy. Oh. That's such a Cali boy thing.
What is? No, it isn't.
What? Do you like your sour cream to have like Greek yogurt in it instead or something?
I don't really like sour cream. I don't like cottage cheese. I don't like Greek yogurt. It's all just kind of
like milk.
I don't drink it every night like some psycho. Some psycho that isn't 5 years old.
Hey. Jerry.
Can we also agree that sour cream needs to, like, that's a horrible name for it. You don't want to be eating any sort of food.
Well, it's only called sour cream in this godforsaken country. Everyone else is like creme fraiche or something.
Isn't that different? I think that's different.
No, it's a little different, but I think we're the only place that calls it goddamn sour cream because like we think our cream is supposed to be sweet.
Gary, back me up on this. Sour cream is a good thing.
It was. I didn't like sour cream when I was a little baby, and I ate chicken nuggets. And but you know, when you become a man,
right?
Chicken with right. Bones,
no, I'm with you guys.
You start eating like adult things. Sour cream is amazing, man. Come on.
Just get yourself guac instead if you need something wet and in a burrito.
Why not? That Ooh. Was the most Cali thing you've ever said in your entire life.
It was pretty bad.
All guac right. is delicious.
All right, next question here is
Who
from
are
man-
you?
Next question here is from Mansur Shaheen. If life is a simulation, does free agency really matter? Does the draft matter? Do I matter? Do your garbage food takes matter?
Well, if you just heard the past minute and a half.
Damn it, you beat me to it. If you think guac is bad, then none of your opinions matter.
Christ. Okay, I've got a question here from Jerry's other burner account with the display name It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp from at Saucy Pimp Tacos.
I think that was the name of the taco truck. No, there it is. Saucy Pimp Tacos.
That would be a great taco truck name. That would be a taco truck I would absolutely eat at. He asks us, how did you guys meet? Whose idea was it to start the podcast? First off, it was my idea. Thank you very much.
True. I mean, we all met thanks to Sean, really. He hired essentially everyone prior to me being promoted to managing editor.
It was like you and Alex and no one else was around. Then Sean hired me, Ryan. I think Jerry was still doing videos at the time, but like, what was it? Yeah. Kyle came along as well. And I mean, a lot of other people came along too, and they all just kind of quit. But and then Sean just peaced out like 3 weeks into the preseason. So we were all stuck with each other and we had to figure something out. And I had been doing a college football podcast before coming here. And I just decided to apply my laziness to the Lions.
And I think our friendship or online friendship or whatever you want to call it really cultivated in the Slack room. Like without the Slack room, I don't know if the podcast would be what the podcast is or the site would even be what the site is.
I hear like some other SB Nation sites don't use the Slack at all. They use like they just turn stuff in by email, and I can't envision that at all. That sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, we just started Slack right before Sean left. We started Slack, and before that, we were communicating by email. And I'm sure everyone knows how slow and arduous and boring emails are. Slack was a godsend.
We were using Slack for like really serious stuff until Sean left. And all of a sudden it's like, how the fuck do we live with each other? And we just started joking around in Slack. We discovered the Giphy command and started playing Satan Giphy.
I was going to say, I think what happened in Slack too, is the inmates started to run the asylum a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A little bit. I'm not going to lie.
And, it's kind of been that way ever since then. Like right now the motto or like the subheader for our Slack room is food pictures equal autoban unless it's mandatory Wingstop picks, and that's because Jeremy was so hungry one day and he was trying to be good on his diet.
What was the one before that? Because we had another meme-y kind of one up there, and like, I mean, we have our icons around here. I've got like one of me young with some communist shit in it. Or wait, no, it just says it's a joke now. That's right. Like, I mean, there's it. We can't post half the stuff we do in our Slack. We really can't. And I know that's not fair. This is like, and you know what? It's kind of a rule. It kind of happened with BuzzFeed. No one wants to hear about your Slack channel. But I'm just saying, like, the Slack is kind of the fountainhead, and we just kind of spill some of it out here. So,
Jerry, how do you feel about Slack? Because whenever you pop in on Slack, it's always an event.
And you're always talking about the man titties when you show up.
I love Slack, man, because it allows me to talk about John Cena's boobs and make all those, you know, I'm a lot funnier on text than I would be. It's like if we were having a conversation and I just randomly start talking about John Cena's breast, it wouldn't go over as well as in a Slack room. So it allows me
like,
to be
I there. Like how you've had to mix up what you are calling John Cena's chest.
Like yeah, I like to mix it up a little variation.
All right, one more question here from Corey Lone Wolf Zero. Are just going for depth? Question mark.
Is that Yoda or something or what? Next.
That's it. Like, actually, wait, I've got one last question here that is sure to set Ryan and Jerry at each other's throats. Christy Gibbons asks us, if you could erase all record of one musical artist's entire career, who would you choose and why?
Oh, man. I gotta think. I wouldn't erase Prince's record. So many people love him. That would be very self-centered, wouldn't it? Just because I don't like him.
That would be selfish of you, Jerry.
I gotta think on that. I don't know.
You know what? If I could erase the entire musical discography of one artist, that person would have to be John Cena.
Okay. There we go. All right.
What? We're just bringing that back now. Huh?
He has a rap album.
Does he really?
Yeah. Not like a joke rap album, like legitimately made like a rap album, not just like
We got to discount celebrities, because then I'd have to get rid of Shaq's entire discog too. Oh, I don't want to do that.
Got some hits, man. I go with Sum 41. I don't like them. Never
have. What? Really? Oh, well, yeah, now we're going to fight.
Yeah, I don't like Sum 41 at all.
I kind of feel that about Green Day after American Idiot.
Or Green Day. I don't like them either, so pick one.
I feel that way about Linkin Park, but...
See, I was going to say Vanilla Ice. Like, I just completely wipe out Vanilla Ice and save us arguing over which beat is if Ice Ice Baby is a different beat from Under Pressure or not.
That was a golden moment on that VH1 Behind the Music when he was explaining the difference between the two beats, and he said like the exact same thing.
Yeah, not enough to save him from the lawsuit.
Yeah, no. I don't know if you want to erase that, dude. That was pretty good. I actually thought we were going to talk about the Oscars. That's why I came on. I didn't know we were going to do Lions, so I'm a little disappointed, if I could be honest.
Well, real quick, 2 minutes. What's your Oscar take?
My Oscar take is from last year. I know that I'm a year late, but I think Denzel Washington, he should have won for Fences last year. Although Manchester by the Sea was a good movie, and Casey Affleck did fine. Denzel got robbed for that. Fences was amazing.
But
for this year, Shape of Water, fish having sex with humans.
It's fish fucking. It's fish fucking. Yeah,
Three Billboards should have won. That was a good movie.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you star side.